God never makes a mistake, and always seek the Lord when something happens in your life that you don't understand. Always be resolved in yourself and purposed in your heart to always follow God's leading, even if you don't understand it. All right, kids are dismissed for junior church. Crystal, I did figure out why he was crying. He wanted me. All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and go to John chapter 16. Brother Mike, could you close that back door? All right, so John chapter 16, looking at verses 29 through 33. So John chapter 16, starting at verse 29. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for, again, the time we can have together. I thank you, Father, for the special that was sung, the hymns that we've sang. I thank you, Father, for just speaking to our hearts already. And Father, I ask that you would guide this hour as well, speaking to our hearts through your word and by your spirit. Guide us, Lord, according to your will. I know I've got notes here. I've got an outline. But, Lord, I want you to guide everything, Father. Pray that you would help me to say what needs to be said. Keep me from saying what doesn't need to be said. Again, Father, would you take away all distractions? Lord, help us to be focused on you. Help our thoughts not to wander around, but, Lord, to truly be focused on you this morning. I pray, Lord, give us ears to hear your voice as you speak to us. And, Lord, help us to follow as you guide us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. What wonderful words in verse number 33 that Jesus speaks to his disciples as it's getting closer to the time where Jesus will lay down his life willingly, because no man can take the life of Christ. He willingly lays it down at the cross of Calvary. But he says in verse 33, These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Just the fact that Jesus says, I have overcome the world. This is before the crucifixion. This is before the resurrection. He speaks this, I have overcome the world. It's not that I will overcome the world, but I have overcome the world, because he's the creator of the world. He's God in the flesh, and he has victory, and he gives us victory. So as we think about just being overcomers through Jesus Christ, and that's what I want us to think about today, is the fact that you individually are an overcomer because of Jesus Christ. The disciples, still not understanding what Jesus talks about when he says, you know, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll rear it up, you know, I'll raise it up. The Pharisees and all, they mocked him for it and said, 40 years, you know, this building was in the making. Will you build it, you know, in 3 days? But he talked about his flesh. He talked about his body, the temple that he was indwelling, all right, that body. The disciples didn't quite understand everything that he taught, especially when it came to his death, burial, and resurrection. But here he just reminds them that they have peace because of Jesus Christ. You and I have peace this morning because of Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens in your life,
You are an overcomer through Jesus Christ. In fact, this morning you're sitting in church on a Sunday. I'm standing here, and you might have thoughts come in from your past of trials and tribulations and hardships you've gone through. And guess what? God's brought you through every one of them. We all face different things in life. The hardships I face may not be the same hardships you face, but we still face them. But we all have something in common. Hopefully, everyone here has the same thing in common, and that's Jesus Christ is your Savior. He's your overcomer. He's the one that gives you the victory every day. And as Jesus says, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, in the world ye shall. He says, he doesn't say you might, it could happen. He says ye shall have tribulation, because it's just hard things. Again, I think sometimes we kind of, when we hear the word tribulation, as Christians, as Bible believers, we think of the persecutions that the disciples faced. We think of the persecutions that Christians face in other countries. But the tribulation that comes in your life may not necessarily be, you know, you being in prison for your faith, but just the hardships, just things that happen in the family, in a marriage, in a job situation, just things that happen that really can take a toll on you and really can really, if we allow it, beat down our faith in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God. This morning, though, I want us to be reminded that we are overcomers, not by our own strength, but by the power and might of Jesus Christ that works in our life. First thing I want you to see this morning in the truth that you are an overcomer through Jesus Christ is the provision of peace that he gives. Look at the verse again. Jesus says, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In me you might have peace. You may not have peace in your job. You may not have peace in your marriage. You may not have peace with family members. You may not have peace with neighbors, friends. I mean, there's just things in life, people in life that, you know, we try, as the Bible says, live peaceably with all men as much as life within you, but even that can be difficult at times. Yet we have peace with Jesus Christ. Even though the storm may be raging around us, yet we can have peace on the inside because of Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And this peace is what's provided by God. It's God's peace, not as the world giveth, Jesus says, not as the world giveth, but he gives the peace that passeth all understanding. The peace that at times I don't even understand. Even though I experience the peace of God in very troubled moments of life, yet I know it's the peace of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 8 and 9. Wherein he hath abounded toward us all, us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. The fact that God has a purpose. He purposed in himself to bring you peace. Peace through Jesus Christ. Again, it says, wherein he hath abounded toward us all, or toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Again, when you think about the mystery of his will, you read in the Old Testament, the prophets didn't understand the real purpose of the Messiah coming, Jesus Christ. They thought, as the disciples even asked Jesus, when the Messiah would show up, the Savior of the world, that he would destroy the Roman Empire, set up his kingdom at that moment, and reign and rule for eternity. The disciples even asked him, now will you set up your kingdom? And obviously, the kingdom's coming. There's going to come a time when there is complete peace on this earth, and it's through Jesus Christ. But the mystery of his will is that every single person would come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Every single person would have the peace of God in their hearts through knowing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Genesis chapter 50, in verse 20. The Bible says, but as for you, as Joseph speaks to his brothers who sold him into slavery, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. You think about the providence of God, the foreknowledge of God, God orchestrating the lives of people. Again, we've kind of been talking about this in Sunday school, just how God uses people, moves people into a position he wants them to be in so he can use them. And in the case of Joseph, moving him away from his family down into Egypt as a slave to get him promoted, as God's the one that promotes. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but comes from God. And God promoted Joseph to second in command to save, as Joseph even tells his brothers, much people alive, the entire family of Jacob, which would become a great nation, the nation of Israel, okay? But again, the providence of God. How can I have peace now before I know what's going to happen tomorrow? Because I know who holds tomorrow. I know who's guiding me. And if God is going to bring me into the storm, he'll bring me through the storm. All right? Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Again, just when you think about the providence of God, and God provides peace. And again, when you even think about the life of Joseph, when you really sit and think about, because sometimes we think nobody else understands what I go through. And honestly, nobody may understand exactly what you're going through, but everybody has hardships they go through. And when you think about Joseph's life, and you read in Genesis about Joseph, Joseph being loved by his father so much that Jacob makes him a coat of many colors. Doesn't do it for the other brothers, only for Joseph. Well, that kind of causes his other brothers to hate him even more. But Joseph ends up being plotted against by his brothers. They wanted to kill him. Then, thankfully, he had one brother that talked him out of it and said, let's just throw him in this empty pit, because he was hoping that he could come back and rescue his brother. But when he comes back, his brother is sold into slavery, never to be seen again. So they thought. Yet Joseph goes down, and you know the account. Joseph goes down. He's sold into Potiphar's house. Even there, Potiphar sees the hand of God upon him and sees that everything Joseph does is right and good, and God is blessing it. But guess what? All that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Joseph suffered persecution at the hands of his brothers. Then he's in Potiphar's house just trying to do what's right, having a good attitude. He's got peace in his heart because he knows that God's in control. He doesn't know why he's there. So he's doing everything he can just to be a good testimony, to continue to worship God and to show God just the love he has for him. Then you have Potiphar's wife lying about Joseph, causing him to be cast into prison. So he gets persecuted in Potiphar's house. He gets into prison. Right? It just seems like he goes from one bad situation to the next bad situation to the next worst situation. It just seems like, man, nothing seems to be turning out right, even though Joseph continues to live a life with a heart purpose to honor God, because when you read in Genesis, it says everything he did, God was with him. God blessed what he did. So even in prison, he does the very best he can because he has peace in his heart that he knows his life is in God's hands. Even though he doesn't understand, he knows that God's taking care of him. But again, he even gets persecuted in prison. He gets completely forgot about by the butler, who is restored back to his position. Long story short, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, now Joseph understands, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Hindsight is always 20/20, But even while we're going through it, we can still have peace knowing we are the overcomers through Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:28 reminds us, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Never forget that God loves you. The world wants you to know, and the world wants the young people to know, God doesn't love you. And the world will make sure that people come into your life who are miserable, who are contemplating suicide, who blaspheme the name of God and who say there is no God, and the only way to true happiness is to end your life. The world will make sure there's somebody around you with that type of attitude. But you and I have the Word of God that reminds us, no, God loves me. Though the world may hate me, there's one that loves me, and that's God. Because he even tells me that he laid down his life for me because he loves me. And he's given me a new life in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's given me a new life to live with him on the inside, guiding my steps, filling me with the peace, the joy, and the love that the world never can give. It is an eternal love. It's an eternal joy. And we find that in God. God's the one that gives it. Again, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Again, I want you to think about when you go back, maybe you're still there, but in John 16, John chapter 16. These things I've spoken unto you. Jesus speaking, I've spoken these things unto you. They're written unto us, that in me you might have peace. Jesus says, you can only have peace in me. And in that person of Jesus Christ through salvation. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. God says, only through Jesus Christ can we have peace with God. All right? Speaking of salvation, Romans 5, verse 10 and 11, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Reconciled and atoned for. We've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, and we've received the atonement. All right, just reminding us this morning that the word reconciled simply means we're turned to favor with. Remember, he said that for if, when we were enemies, there was a time in our life that we were the enemies of God. We were not the children of God. We were the enemies of God because we were born with a sin nature and we needed Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sin, to give us a new nature, to give us, to make us a new creature in Christ with a new heart and a new mindset. But because of reconciliation, we're returned to favor with God and we're reconciled to God. The word atonement simply means in the New Testament of the restoration of the favor of God to sinners that repent and put their trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Two very important words, reconciled and atonement. You and I, if we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did, we've been reconciled and we have the atonement placed upon us and we have that peace within us that passes all understanding that regardless of what's going on, regardless of other people that are fearful and scared, they don't know what's going to happen in this country, they don't know what's going to happen in this world, yet you have a peace that tells you everything's going to be fine. It will get worse. It'll get worse before it gets better. Have you ever been told that before in your life? About anything, it'll get worse before it gets better? Yet when you think about your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you think about the Bible when it tells us in the book of Revelation the things that are going to happen in this world, it's going to get worse before it gets better, because God will pass his judgment upon this world. But, because sometimes we also pray as God's people, Lord, come quickly, come now. Lord, will you just set everything straight now? But yet the Bible still tells us that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God is still willing. He's patient. He has long patience. He's long-suffering. He's full of grace, mercy, and love. He wants everyone to come to know Christ as their Savior. Everybody won't, but he gives that opportunity. But honestly, when you read the Bible, you understand it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because the moment it gets better is the moment the Bible talks about the trumpet sounding, the dead in Christ rising first, and those that are alive and remain at the sound of the trumpet are caught up in the air to meet the Lord and to be with him forever. But there's nothing to be scared of. There's nothing to be fearful of. The Bible reminds us we will be saved from the wrath to come. We're not appointed to God's wrath. There'll be tribulations. There'll be hardships. You've already suffered hardships in your life. But as we think about, I'll say the end times, as we think about the Battle of Armageddon, we think about the armies rising up to fight against Jesus Christ and his army. Jesus Christ will simply speak the word and destroy the enemy. But you and I have peace in us that helps us to overcome the fears of the world, to overcome things that we don't understand, because we have salvation in Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled." As he speaks this directly to his disciples, he's speaking it to us today and every day, let not your heart be troubled. He goes on to say, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, I leave you with my peace. I leave you with my peace. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, just thinking about the peace that we have in Jesus Christ. Through salvation in our life, because he's given us the peace that passes all understanding that only he can give. But also, let's see where I'm at. Romans 15, also through the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. The Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. We serve the God of hope. We serve the only God that can give us true hope, and our hope is based on Jesus Christ. Our hope, we're looking for the blessed hope. We're looking for the return of Christ. But he gives us that hope, the hope that, you know what? God said all things work together for good to them that love him. I love God. And even though I don't understand what's going on in my life, what's going on in this country, what's going on in the world, yet I know that God is in control. I know that God will direct my steps, and the Holy Spirit of God continues to remind me of the peace that I have in Jesus Christ. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. If you're familiar with C.S. Lewis, he was a writer, and he wrote this. He said, God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself. God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself, because it is not there. There is no such thing. True happiness and peace only come through Jesus Christ. think I want you to think about, look back, if you would, at John 16 and 33. Again, Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." So Jesus provides the peace that's needed. He provided it through, obviously, his own sacrifice, which brought salvation to the world, salvation to every single person that will put their faith and trust in him, in his finished work. But even though he gives us the peace, there's still tribulation. There's still hardships. There's still difficulties. Because notice what he says. "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation." Now, I am like you. I pray for peace all the time. Lord, help me to have a good day. And when something seems to be going wrong, Lord, would you please take it away? But honestly, if we think about it, how will we ever know the peace of God if there's never any difficulties? How will we ever know the love of God if we never have to face hardships where we have to cry out to God? I know that God is a loving God. I know that he is a God that gives hope and gives peace and joy. But in order to experience that, there are some times where something difficult has to happen. Again, one of the things that I will never forget, at every birth of our children, I experience joy like every other parent. Just the seeing the birth of a daughter or a son and just seeing life, it's like you can't prove evolution to me. I'm seeing life formed in the womb of a mother. And when you watch the ultrasound, you already know their personality, whether it's going to be a good baby or a naughty baby, you know, sucking their thumb, all kinds of things. You can pick up on their personality, and it's like, man, when they're born and stuff, it's like, yep, exactly the way they were in the womb is the way that they are now. But just life and just the joy you experience. But I've also, like you, have experienced great peace in my life at difficult moments. One of the greatest difficult moment I've had, but one of the difficult moments I had was laying in between two pews on a Sunday with a shattered heel because I fell through the ceiling. On a Sunday, two of my boys got up in the rafters. We were going to run some cable from one end to the other end in between church because we stayed at the church all day until the next service. And got up there and, you know, totally missed my step, slipped off a rafter, looked down, thought I knew where the next one would be, and put my foot down and stood up. And when I did, just went right through the ceiling. Landed and shattered my left heel, laying in between two pews, waiting for the ambulance, and my foot was so on fire. I mean, I just could not believe the fire my foot was on. But I just remember, and I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you that there was a peace that came over me. Everything's going to be fine. And I started singing my favorite scripture song, which is Psalm 48. Psalm 48, verse 1 and 2 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." And it goes on with some other words, but again, when you think about the peace, the Holy Spirit of God reminds you of the peace you have with God and will bring to your mind scripture that comforts you at that given moment. Now listen, Jesus says, "In me ye might have peace, in the world ye shall have tribulation." But I'm so glad that we have peace in Christ. Too many people are focusing on the tribulations instead of the one that gives us the ability to overcome. The one that gives us the peace, the one that helps us to overcome the difficulties. Look at verses 1 through 4 of John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. These things, Jesus says, have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can be offended by what the Bible says. We can be offended by what God says. God has never said anything to cause you harm, to be offensive to you, but there are times where we may take what God says the wrong way instead of seeking for the answer. Because right here he says, these things I've spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. He's speaking to his disciples, and many would die for their faith. All right? These things will they do unto you because they've not known the Father nor me. Verse 4, but these things I have told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them, and these things I said, not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. See, at the beginning of his ministry with the disciples, he didn't tell them what they're going to go through. He didn't tell them about, you know, the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He didn't tell them, you know, after I depart, you're going to suffer persecution. Because he wanted their focus to be him. And that is what our focus is supposed to be every day, is Jesus Christ. Not the problem, because Jesus Christ is the answer to the problem. So when we focus on Jesus Christ, it reminds us, you know what? I've got peace. He's in control. I can follow him faithfully and know that even though he may lead me into the storm, it's for a purpose, to strengthen my faith, to show me the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and to bring me to the other side. But again, I want you to look back at verse 1. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. In John chapter 6, I want you to look at verse 60. Oh, and I got to hurry up. John chapter 6. He did not want his true disciples to be offended at what the things that he would say. Because those that are not, I'll say, true disciples of Christ, those that are only using Jesus like a lucky charm or a rabbit's foot, which if you're trusting in a rabbit's foot that's been cut off the rabbit, then there's probably no real luck with that because the rabbit lost its foot. Right, Miss Christine? But think about Jesus Christ, though. All right, putting your full trust in him. But he doesn't want you to be offended at things that are said sometimes. In verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? If you were to back up and you would read where Jesus says, except ye drink my blood and eat my flesh, ye cannot be my disciple. Well, that's kind of weird. Is he saying we need to be, I just forget the word, cannibals? Do we need to be cannibals in order to follow Jesus? And no, because he goes on to explain it, but he said it in such a way because he knew who were true disciples, who were following Jesus for just the feeding, for just the miracles, and who was following Jesus because of who he was. And sometimes God will do that in our life, cause some difficulty to show us that, you know what, we're trusting something that's not right. We've got the wrong perception of who Jesus is. But again, in verse 60, many heard that saying, heard Jesus say, except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you cannot be my disciples. In verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he saith unto them, does this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. There are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Those that had walked with him for some length of time, those that had sat, heard his teachings, but also their bellies were filled. They saw the miracles. Many had miracles performed on them, whether they received their sight, whether they received the ability to walk. Yet, because of what he said, they didn't understand it. They didn't bother to ask him to explain it because their heart was not in it. The other disciples who did not leave knew Jesus was not teaching to be a cannibal. He knew he wasn't really saying, if you drink my blood and eat my flesh, because I want you to notice in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? So he turns to Peter and James and John and Matthew and the others and say, will you go away also? Are you going to leave me? But I want you to notice what Peter says in verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter says the truth. He's not offended at what Jesus said because he knows Jesus is not really saying, eat my flesh, drink my blood. He's speaking spiritually because his flesh would be the sacrifice. His flesh would be the bread that's broken. His blood would be spilt for the sin of mankind. Jesus would shed his blood, and spiritually speaking, with the day that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that his sacrifice, it's complete. It's enough. I don't need anything else. There's nothing you can add to his sacrifice to make it better. His sacrifice was well accepted by God the Father. But understanding that, again, as I say, true disciples, those that truly believe the word of God, believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and follow him, are not offended by the things that he may allow into your life for good. All right? God will use everything for good in your life. Again, we have to make sure that we stay close to him. He gives us a peace that says, you know what? I probably didn't hear that right. I probably am not understanding what the Bible is saying. I need to continue reading because the Bible always explains itself. There are those that will say, well, there's a bunch of contradictions in Scripture. There's no contradiction in Scripture because Scripture is given to us by God. And when you read Scripture, the Holy Spirit that's been given as the teacher and guide, guides us into all truth and will help us to understand things that, you know what, I don't quite understand what this is saying. I know it's right because God is right. And we continue reading and we find out, oh, that's what God meant. I just want us to understand that allow yourself to always lean towards God. When you don't understand what's going on in your life, always lean towards God, that God knows and God will direct me and God's given me a peace that I know everything will be okay. Again, I don't know everything that has gone on in your life. I don't know the hardships that you go through. But by my own experience, I know that God's faithful. I know that God gives us a true peace that passes all understanding that, Lord, it hurts right now, but I'm trusting you. It hurts, but I'm trusting you. I know you're on my side. I know if God be for me, who can be against me, even though it hurts? Just being honest with God and leaning upon God and hoping that God will guide you through those difficult moments in life because he promises you that you will be an overcomer. Look very quickly at back at John 16, the last part of verse 33. last part of verse 33. Again, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." If nobody in your life can encourage you by saying, be of good cheer, let it be Jesus Christ who says, "Be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." I've overcome the world. That means because Jesus Christ is in your life, you have overcome the world as well through Jesus Christ. You are an overcomer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first thing I want us to think about, and the fact that we are overcomers, and when Jesus says, "I've overcome the world," he overcame the world through the resurrection. He died a cruel death on Calvary, on the cross. The Bible says that he was unrecognizable. You couldn't tell if he was a man or not hanging up there. They had beaten him, scourged him so bad beyond recognition. But the true victory was in the resurrection, when he himself, remember, he had raised others from the dead. In fact, there's an account where there's a mother grieving the loss of her son. There's a funeral parade going down the street. Jesus stops the funeral procession, lays his hand on that casket, laid his hand on the casket, raised that son to life, delivered the son back to the mother. There was Jairus' daughter. Jairus had come to Jesus on behalf of his daughter who was sick and dying, and before Jesus even started heading to the house, or actually when he turned around and started walking, someone came and said, "Bother the master no more, your daughter's dead." And Jesus turned to Jairus and said, "Believe only." Jesus goes, raises her. So then he raises Mary and Martha's brother, Lazarus, who is a dear friend of Jesus. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, why is it sometimes it seems like God is waiting. God's not coming as quickly as I need him. I'm calling on him, and it seems like he's not helping me. And you read the life of Lazarus. When Jesus gets word Lazarus is sick, he's dying, the Bible says Jesus stayed where he was 3 more days. He didn't quickly just go to him. And then when he started to go to him, he'd already died. By the time he gets there, Mary and Martha, they're saying, "Lord, he's been in the tomb for 4 days. I mean, he's been dead for 4 days. I mean, what naturally happens to a body has already begun to happen, the decomposing." And Jesus says, "Roll the stone away." They roll the stone away. And Jesus, just with his word, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, I know sometimes preachers like to emphasize, "Lazarus, come forth." I don't know how he said it. But almost, because his word is so powerful, he might have just said, "Lazarus, come forth." Just kind of like, "What are you guys crying about? He's not dead." Because remember, the little girl that was dead, Jairus' daughter, he said, "She's not dead, but sleepeth." And the people scorned him because she had been dead for a while. So I can almost imagine just the love and the compassion that he has for the people, for Mary and Martha. They're mourning the loss of their brother. Yet the fact he just speaks, "Lazarus, come forth." How, whatever tone he uses, his word is powerful enough to raise the dead. Now, who's going to speak on Jesus' behalf when he's laying in the tomb? Who's going to come and touch his body to raise it up? He himself, the one who gives life. So think about the peace you and I have because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Verses 15 through 58, same chapter. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you have the peace that passeth all understanding in your heart through Jesus Christ, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Henry Morris, a great commentator, said this about Jesus Christ in the scriptures. He said, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the crowning proof of Christianity. It's the crowning proof of Christianity. If the resurrection did not take place, then Christianity is a false religion. If it did take place, then Christ is God and the Christian faith is absolute truth. And you and I this morning know we have a risen Savior. And how do we know? Because He lives within me. My life has been changed. I've experienced His peace within me. The peace that passeth all understanding. Jesus Christ overcame the world by His resurrection. That's why He said, I've overcome the world, and you and I overcome the world by faith. Faith that was born of God. Very quickly, 1 John chapter 5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Your faith will always be fought against. You have an adversary that will fight against your faith, a world that will fight against your faith and try to get you to lay down the shield of faith and not believe that God's going to help you, not believe that Christ is powerful enough to help you and to give you the peace and give you the ability to keep moving forward. That's where faith comes in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see the end, but I know I have victory through Jesus Christ. I know that He'll bring me through it. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who being you, are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Yes, right now, we have heartache. Right now, there are times where we think, Lord, I can't go on. I can't keep going through this. Yet, the moment we see Christ face to face, our hearts will rejoice that God brought us through it, that God helped us, and it's over. When you see your Savior face to face, it's over. The life you currently live, the trials you currently have are over because you'll be with your Savior for eternity. That is the peace that passes all understanding that helps us right now, that not only will I see Him face to face, but He's with me right now, and He helps me, and He guides me. He helps me to understand that He loves me, and that everything is for His glory and for a purpose, and for my faith to be strengthened. We overcome the world by our faith, and our faith being not in the problem being taken away, but in the person who's brought us salvation, and that's Jesus Christ. That is why Paul was able to say, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon my life. Not that he enjoyed the infirmities, not that he enjoyed, you know, being snake bitten, shipwrecked, beaten, left for dead, imprisoned. He didn't enjoy that, but he enjoyed the power of God upon his life. He enjoyed the fellowship, the darkest moment of night in the prison, the Philippian jail. He's singing and praising God because of the peace that is within him. And someone might say, well, I can't sing when I'm going through a difficult moment. Then our focus isn't right. Our focus is too much on the problem instead of the problem solver, the one who has the answer. That's what Paul did. That's what Silas did. They put their focus on God And God showed them in a very powerful way that he was still with them by shaking that jail with an earthquake, causing all the doors to fly open. And yet God used that to get a Philippian jailer to want to know, what must I do to be saved? And him putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ as well. But listen, our faith is born of God. God's given us his faith, and it's faith that's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The fact that these martyrs, these saints, overcame the world by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's something I often say, that you and I need to remember every given day, that Jesus Christ, who's in us, is greater than the world. Again, he's in us, helping us to live through this world, but he gives us the victory. He gives us the peace. You and I are overcomers because he overcame the world for us. Sometimes we fight battles that, I say spiritual battles, sometimes we fight spiritual battles we don't even need to fight. Just give them to the Lord. Say, Lord, I can't win this battle. Would you fight it for me? I know I have victory through Christ. He's given us the victory. And again, faith needs to be exercised through prayer. Praying to the one who you know has the answer to the problem, the one who will guide you, the one who is protecting you. Because again, Hebrews 11:6 says, God says in Hebrews, in fact, go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, speaking of God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, believe that he is. That he is what? He is my God. He is my Savior. He's my deliverer. He's my peace. He's my overcomer. He's the one that has my life in his hands. If I just come to God just thinking, well, I hope God does this, I hope God hears my prayers, then we're not going to get the peace that we need. We're not going to get the answer that we need. Again, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Again, as you go ahead and stand, because we'll close with a word of prayer, I want you to think about these words from Romans chapter 8 that Paul writes because of experience in his life. Again, we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You and I are overcomers because of Jesus Christ who is in our life. The problem is never a wonderful thing to go through. The trials we go through are trials we'd rather not go through. But one thing that we are assured of, we have a Savior who walks with us. We have a Savior who gives us the grace to handle it and to go through it, and one who will bless us on the other side. We have to keep believing that. We have to keep believing that, you know what? God knows better than me. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I don't understand, but I completely trust him because I trust him for my salvation. I trust the fact that he holds my life in his hands and that he truly does love me.